As Tim said, the readings from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, which is page 1220 in the church Bibles. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of the believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Chrissy. Good evening. Let's pray, shall we? And then let's have a think about this portion of this letter together. Gracious Father, thank you for these Sunday evenings. Thank you for all that you've spoken to us about living as scattered but saved and often suffering Christians in this world. Father, we ask, please, that as we come to the end of this short series in this letter tonight, that you would speak again to us, that you'd be strengthening our faith, that you'd be teaching us how to stand firm, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how about this for a book title? Hopefully it'll appear on the screen. How to Stay Alive. That's a pretty good title, isn't it? How to Stay Alive, the ultimate survival guide for any situation. Now, if you saw that title on a bookshelf, you think, well, that promises some big things, right? And it does deliver what it says. It covers everything, every situation, from surviving a bear attack. Anyone had one of those recently? No. Surviving a bear attack to how to fly a plane in an emergency. So this is clearly really useful reading if you're going to end up in any of those situations. How to survive anything, how to stay alive. And you might think, well, a book like this is pretty unique, but actually if you go to the bookshop, survival guides are everywhere. Survival guides to family life, survival guides to financial problems, survival guides are on the internet. You just look them up, how to survive any situation. And this evening, I want to suggest that as we come to this last little section of Peter together, what he has written for us, not just in this section, but really the whole letter, is a survival guide on suffering for being a Christian. How does the church survive and navigate those occasions where we are called to suffer simply because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, you've got to remember that's the context of this letter we've been reading. Look at chapter 4 and verse 12 to 13. We could have gone anywhere, but let's just dive back a little bit. Chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Peter is addressing Christians who are suffering because they follow Jesus. Again, look at verse 19. This is literally what he said before what we read tonight. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. In some ways, this whole letter of 1 Peter is a survival guide for suffering when you follow the Lord Jesus. And as we come to this last section, he kind of layers up, as it were, a few more tips, a few more survival guides for those times of suffering. Whether that's survival for suffering, for just simply facing shame for following Jesus. Some of us may face shame, opposition within our families. It may be that it's the growing opposition to Christianity within our society. That limitations on what we can say, restraining what we can say in certain places. It may be the sufferings that we face for holding to the Bible's teaching on certain subjects that have really kind of made us unpopular and even dangerous at points. Teachings on sexual ethics, on marriage, or really kind of any ethical issue that rubs up against what the world believes. And so the question is, how do we survive these times? How do we survive suffering for following the Lord Jesus? And in 1 Peter 5, I want to say that Peter says this. He says, be part of a church. Now, I know he doesn't say that directly there, but this is the thing that's really grabbed me this week. Be part of a church. Peter switches. If you've got Peter in front of you, have a look at this. He switches from talking about the fiery ordeals, the suffering you're going to follow, stand firm as a Christian. And then, chapter 5, he seems to just almost change direction and start talking about the life of church, community life. He talks to the leaders and he talks to the younger, and then he addresses the whole church. And he seems to sort of switch between talking about suffering to talking about the church and how the church should behave towards one another. You see, look at verse 1, to the elders among you. Verse 5, to the younger among you. Then verse 5 later on, to all of you. Now, it's really important because this is not disconnected. He's not suddenly leaping subject. No, he's saying that actually, when you're suffering, the church is really important. The group of people to which God has called you to belong are super important if you're going to survive times of suffering. When the pressure's on for following Jesus, whether personally or corporately, we need church. We need the community of believers. We need other followers of Jesus. I think that's an important reminder to us, isn't it? I know I'm preaching to the converted because you're at church. But actually, it's an important reminder after 2 years where we've been in and out of being able to meet together, and perhaps some of us have lost the habit of kind of being part of community. But we really need the church. See, in the West, I think we've become quite individualistic. You know, when we hit times of suffering, I think we've lost or we downplay the value of community, the gift of community to survive times that are difficult. But what's really grabbed me this week is that Peter is not switching subjects. Here's suffering, and now I'm going to talk about the church. Now, he's saying, here's suffering. This is what you might go through for being a Christian. And right into that, you need to know how to behave as a church. You need church. And Peter points out that you've got to be part of a church that's doing 4 things as he works through this section. And the first thing is this: be part of a church that, first of all, is serving one another. If you're going to navigate suffering times, you need to be part of a community of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are serving one another. See, Peter gives a principle. Have a look at verse 5. Peter gives a principle that should shape the kind of community we should belong to. He says there at the very end, God opposes the proud, but gives favor, or shows favor to the humble. And based on that principle, Peter is calling the whole community, verse 5, to clothe ourselves with humility. Now, that means that we should be clothing ourselves with an attitude towards one another that says, I put you before me. I value you higher than I value myself. And the whole church is to do that. Whatever your role is in church, whether you're a leader or whether you're led, the whole church is to be governed by this principle of serving one another, of putting one another's interests before our own. And so here's the really important point Peter's making. He says to survive times of suffering, we have to be a church that serves one another. And that means that, first of all, we need leaders who serve. You see, look at verses 1 to 4. He addresses the elders. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's suffering, and also who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock. Now, when he addresses the elders, he could just be addressing those who are older in church. But actually, as you read the New Testament, it's clear that this term elders refers to the leaders of a church. And particularly as he goes on in verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4, he's outlining responsibilities of leadership. And what he's saying is that the leaders of the church, those who are appointed to lead the church, are to be shepherds. You notice that there in verse 2? Be shepherds of God's flock. In the church setting, the leaders do not own the church. The church is God's. You notice that? It's God's flock. They belong to the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were purchased with his blood. You were purchased with his blood. But the elders are to shepherd. That means they are to lead and to protect and to feed and to guide the sheep, God's flock, those purchased by the Lord Jesus. And what kind of leaders then should you be looking for in church? What kind of leaders does a church that's going to survive suffering need? Well, it needs, verse 2, leaders who are willing, who want to do it rather than are forced to do it. Verse 2, it needs leaders that are not doing it for selfish gain. Leaders who aren't out to kind of, you know, boost their own career or just gather things for themselves. No, look what it says there in verse 2. Leaders who are not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. Eager to put others before themselves. And what kind of leaders do we need, verse 3? Not those who lord it over those entrusted to you, but those who are being examples to the flock. You're not after dominating and dictating leaders in the life of a church. You're after those who will be examples of how to walk through times of suffering, examples of what it looks like to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those of you who kind of follow the wider church scene, you'll know that there's many sad incidences over these last few years of pretty high-profile leaders who have not been this and who have fallen away. Leaders who've dominated, who've dictated, who have done things for selfish gain. And that's not going to help a church walk through times of suffering. See, we need leaders. If we're going to survive times of suffering, the church need leaders who are going to model the chief shepherd. Look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd, that's the Lord Jesus, when he appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. We need leaders who are going to follow the example of the one who put our interests before himself. We need leaders who are going to follow the example of the one who walked through suffering to glory, who endured suffering for the joy set before him, and one who's going to set an example to that. So you see, we need leaders who serve like the Lord Jesus, but we also need people who will serve one another, who will submit to those who lead. Look at verse 5. He goes on to say, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. Now, he addresses those who are younger. Now, I guess lots of us would like to draw the line for younger in a particular place, wouldn't we? I think it's just above me, the line for old, and I'll be in the younger bracket. Now, you've got to wrestle with it. I mean, who's he talking to? Who are the younger here? In some ways, he's already addressed the elders, and so the younger could be saying, well, everybody else in church. But actually, I think he's really using it to mean the younger. It's the tendency in us when we're young, isn't it, to kind of kick back against authority, to be a little bit prideful in our opinions and our decisions. And I think he's saying, well, look, if you're gonna kick back against those who are trying to lead you down the godly path, then that's not going to be a church that helps you survive suffering. And so he's saying to the younger, submit yourself to your elders. Submit to those who are setting you an example. Submit to those who willingly want to lead you. Submit to those who are following the example of the Lord Jesus. And then whichever category you place yourself in, elder or younger, actually, what does he say to everybody in the church? Look at verse 5. We all need to play our part in serving each other. If we are going to be a church that survives suffering, we all need to clothe ourselves with humility. Now, that's a deliberate action. That's a doing word. Clothe yourself. You know, when you got dressed this morning, unless you're some kind of magic powers, you didn't just sort of stand there and your clothes jumped onto you. You went to your cupboard and you chose what you were going to wear today and you put them on today. You went to the effort of putting them on. And friends, we need to as a church. If we're going to be a church that survives the times of suffering that may come our way or the sufferings that we're already going through, we need to clothe ourselves with humility. To navigate those times of suffering, we need to be part of a church that has a structure, sheep and shepherds, and we need to be part of a church that has the right attitude, that is serving one another. I don't know about you, but suffering can make me very selfish. And when times of suffering come upon the church, it can make us very selfish. And that's why Peter says to the church, you need to be part of a church that looks out for one another. Because that's how we'll navigate times of suffering. And so can I ask you tonight, as we hear Peter say this, will you pray that we're that kind of a church? Will you pray for those that are appointed elders of this church, that they look something like 1 Peter 5, rather than the sort of characteristics of world leadership, which is dominating and dictating and lording it over others? Will you pray for the leaders? Will you pray that we can be a church that serves one another? Will you pray that we can be a church that willingly submits to the leaders as they seek to lead us? So that's the first thing. Will you play your part in being a church that serves one another? Secondly, though, we need to be part of a church that accepts suffering is part of God's hand upon us, accepts God's hand in our suffering. You see, verse 6, look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Taking this principle, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. He now applies it not to humbling ourselves to one another, but to humbling ourselves before God. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, have a look at chapter 4, verse 19. I think this helps us to understand. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator. I think he's talking here about the church, as we enter into times of suffering for following Jesus, willingly accepts that our sufferings, the circumstances we're going through, are all under God's sovereign control. It's easy, isn't it, when we are in times of suffering to think God's out of control, to think that God's kind of lost the plot or he's abandoned us in some way. But actually the church, if we're to survive times of suffering, needs to accept God's hand in our suffering. Suffering might make us angry against God, even run away from God. But to survive suffering for following Jesus, we must humbly accept it as from God, as part of his plan for the church that doesn't end in destruction. But if you look at verse 6, where does it end? That we may be lifted up in due time, in God's timing. See, friends, I don't know what suffering you might be experiencing for following Jesus. But when we experience those things, we have to look to the cross of our Lord Jesus. Because the cross of our Lord Jesus reminds us that God has a hand in suffering for his good purposes. That God has a hand in suffering that leads to glory. In our own life, in our own world, suffering doesn't mean God's abandoned us. But we're to accept it as part of God's path from suffering to glory as we follow Christ. And how do we show that we're a church that's accepting God's hand upon us? That we accept that God's got a hand in the suffering that's going on upon us? Well, look at verse 7. We cast our cares upon him. You see that? Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Suffering can bring worry. It can bring anxiety. What's it going to mean for me, for my family? What's it going to look like for the church in the future? But Peter says, throw it upon God. When we're suffering for following Jesus, pray to him, knowing and trusting that he cares for us. See, a mark of those who are accepting God's hand over our circumstances is that we run to him, not from him. We survive suffering as a church together as we cast our cares upon him, cast our anxiety upon him in those times of suffering. So first, be part of a church that serves one another. Second, let's be part of a church that accepts God's hands in our suffering, doesn't rage against him, but says, God, we know you're in this. We see your hand in this. We know that suffering doesn't mean you've abandoned us. And third, we're to be part of a church that stands firm against the devil. See, look at verse 8. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Peter calls the church to kind of an awakeness, a readiness, a poised for action. Not the sort of a sleepy, just kind of waiting it out, but a readiness. Many of you will know we have a dog, and she seems to know that on Sunday we have people round, and also on a Monday night. But because she knows that, the moment someone comes in the door on a Sunday lunchtime, she sits there, like watching the door to see who's going to come in next. Who she can devour. No, only kidding. Who's going to come in? Who's next to come to play? Is what she thinks, at least. She sits poised and alert. And as Christians, we're called to that kind of poised readiness, alertness, clear-mindedness. Why? Well, look at verse 8. Because whilst we humbly accept that God has a hand in our suffering, we're also to remember that there's another power at work in our sufferings, which is the power of the devil. You see that verse 8? Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, for someone to swallow up. See, one of the questions we often ask, don't we, in our sufferings, and particularly here the focus is on suffering for following Jesus, is, well, is it from God or is it from the devil? And Peter's just said, well, accept, you know, humble yourself under God's mighty hand because God's in control. You know, it's him, it's his mighty hand that's over everything. But then in the very next verse, but he's saying, but be alert because the devil's got his hand in it too. You see, the devil can often come in under the radar of our suffering to devour us, to feed us his lies, to divert us from the truth. You see, look at what we're to do, verse 9. Peter says, that's true, the devil's prowling around, but verse 9, resist him. Now that sounds like a big task, doesn't it? How do we resist the devil? Well, verse 9 goes on to explain it. Have a look. Standing firm in the faith. How do we resist the devil? By together as a church, standing firm in the truths of the gospel. By standing firm on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the devil is terrified of Jesus. The devil is a dangerous enemy, but he's a defeated enemy. And he is absolutely terrified. And friends, as we huddle in to the Lord Jesus Christ together, and we huddle in and we cling tight to what Jesus did on the cross and in his resurrection, the devil flees because he's terrified of Jesus. And again, you see, there's power, isn't there, in solidarity? There's power in community. Look at verse 9. We stand firm in the faith together. We huddle together around Jesus, week in, week out, reminding ourselves of the truth of the gospel. And what do we know? Well, we know actually that this is the common experience of Christians all over the world. When we suffer, it's not that we're abnormal. It's not that this is out of the ordinary. This is what believers all over the world go through. Believers walk the path of suffering to glory. And so friends, resist the devil. Don't listen to his lies in the midst of our suffering for following Jesus. When your family is poking fun at you, when your work colleagues avoid you because they're worried you might do that Jesus talking thing again, when the temperature is rising on us in society because they don't want to hear the message of the gospel, it rubs up against what they want to have as this tolerant society. When it rubs and rubs and rubs, what are we to do? Don't listen to the lies of the devil, who in those moments will say, well, you must be doing something wrong. Or who says to you, God can't be very pleased with you because look, you're suffering, you're struggling. Resist the devil. Stand firm on the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be part of a church that is together standing firm in the gospel. You still with me? So be part of a church that serves one another. Be part of a church that accepts God's sovereign hand over our circumstances, that doesn't rage against him, but prays to him, so that says, Lord, get us through this suffering. Be part of a church that is standing firm against the devil by standing firm in Jesus. And here's number four, be part of a church that is trusting God for the future. See, look how Peter ends this part of his letter. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Peter reminds the church in the very midst of their suffering that they are called not to end in suffering, but they're called to eternal glory. The future that theirs is theirs is in heaven. The future that is theirs is eternity with the Lord Jesus. And look at what Peter can say, after you have suffered for a little while. Now, when you're in the middle of suffering, it doesn't feel very short, does it? It feels long, it feels prolonged, it feels difficult. But when you see it through the lenses of eternity, Peter can talk about suffering as just for a little while. Even if it's a lifetime for us. For a little while we will suffer, but after that, God will personally restore those who trust Jesus. You see that restoration? He will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. I don't know what suffering you're going through at the moment for following the Lord Jesus, but here's the promise of God's word. He will restore you. And some of that restoration may come now, in the present, in this age. God may restore you and make you strong, bringing you through a season of suffering. But I think ultimately here, Peter's getting our eyes on the long-term future when God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ will restore us, will help us to stand firm. And look at what it says there. Make you strong, firm, and steadfast as he brings us to eternal glory where there will be no suffering. Friends, we need to be a church that is trusting in God to bring about that future. When you're in the middle of suffering, when you're in the middle of struggling for following the Lord Jesus, trust him for that future. Encourage one another to trust him for that future. Do you help one another look to that in the times of trial? See, that's where we should be pointing one another. That's where Peter points this church family that he writes to here, in their times of trial. To survive suffering, we need to be part of a church that is trusting God for the future. That just like the Lord Jesus Christ walked a path of suffering, even to the cross, but he was raised to glory. We as a church need to remember that we may walk a path of suffering, but we will be raised to glory. Be a church that trusts him for that future. So here is Peter's survival guide to suffering for following the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I say, in some ways the whole letter's been a survival guide, but here's what he's taught us tonight. Number one, be part of a church that serves. Be part of a church that has a humility towards one another. Be part of a church that has the structure of service, shepherd and sheep. Be part of a church that looks out for one another. Be part of a church that is accepting the suffering we're going through as from God's hand. It's not out of his control, it's in his control. Be part of a church that is resisting the devil in our sufferings, resisting his lies, resisting his trying to pull us away from the Lord Jesus. Resist him how? By being a church that stands firm on the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's be a church that is trusting him for the future, that our sufferings will only last a little while, and then we will have eternal glory. Friends, let's pray, shall we, that we can be a church that is like that, so that together we can navigate those times of suffering for following our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the gift of church, for the gift of a community of believers with whom we can walk through suffering for following our Lord Jesus Christ. We're following Jesus is getting tougher in our country and in our lives. May we not withdraw from church, but move closer in. Please help us to be church that serves one another, remembering that you oppose the proud, proud leaders, proud sheep, but you give grace and show favor to the humble. Help us to humbly accept your hand in our sufferings, rejoicing that we share in the sufferings of Christ. May we cast all our anxiety on you as we walk through that suffering together. And please help us to stand firm against the devil by standing firm in Jesus. Help us to trust you for the future, especially when the present hurts. Please bring us to glory. Please restore the church. And we ask this not just for ourselves, but for others, especially for those who truly are going through fiery ordeals and great opposition for following Jesus in our world right now. And we ask it all in his powerful name. Amen.